Joseph Powers Ministries is coming your way with a voice of purpose, a voice that brings hope, direction, and impact to move you into your place of assignment and fulfillment. And now, receive the ministry of Prophet Joseph Boughton Powers, a mentor, coach, counselor, leader, and a prophet of God. He is an author of many leadership and ministry-related books, including Woman of Assignment, My Calling to Fulfill, Strategic Leadership, The Walk of Wisdom, The Voice of the Rainbow. For more information, visit our website on www.josephpowersministries or key in Joseph Powers Ministries on all social media handles. Relax and enjoy today's episode. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord this morning. And we thank God for your lives. We thank God for your families and all that is in your hands. It has been by the hand of God that we are all alive. And so we give him praise this morning. We give him glory. We give him glory. Father, we bless you. I want you to join me in prayer as we bring the word of the Lord unto you. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. You have been our God. You have been our lawgiver. And you have been our shield and our protector. Father, we thank you. When the enemy came looking for us, he could not find us because you have been there for us. This morning, we pray that you touch our hearts with your touch. You touch our lives with your power. And give us direction in the name of Jesus. We bless you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I thank you for always listening to me as we come your way with the voice of visitation and impact. It has been an honor to share the word of the Lord with you. And today, like every other day, we want to bring you another important revelation out of the Word of God. We seek to bring unto you the Word, the unadulterated Word of God in its purest form. We seek to bring revelation to you, but the revelation that we will present must always be based on the Word of God. And that is what we seek to do every morning. And today we are sharing with you something very important. When we go through scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, we can identify many prophecies that were written for the people of old but was not intended for them. All those prophecies we call the prophecies of scripture. If you remember, the Bible said the other day when Jesus descended from the mountains after he had fasted and prayed and had been tempted by the devil for the 40 days and the 40 nights, the Bible said when he went into the temple, he took the scrolls and then he read from Isaiah and he quoted verbatimly and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good news." When he finished, he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled." So he read something from the book of Isaiah and said, "This scripture is fulfilled." That shows us that there are so many scriptures, even though were written for the old people that lived some time ago in different places, but they were written for our instruction and edification. And that is why the Bible said that all scripture is inspired. The word of God is very important, and the word of God cannot be limited to time. The word of God transcends time. It goes beyond time. And so we have to understand that there are a lot of prophecies that the scripture has projected for our well-being in these last days. Now, we will take time another day to talk about some of the prophecies of scriptures that should be fulfilled in our time. But I want to bring onto your attention what is written in Haggai chapter 2. And in Haggai chapter 2, the verses 8 and 9, the Bible said, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. And the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." End of quote. This is important. This is the Lord himself speaking to his people. And he spoke to them when they were building the temple. And he told them that the glory that will be revealed, that is the second glory that will be revealed, will be greater than the one that came. Now that is a prophecy of scripture for us in the 21st century, those of us after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you will notice, the glory of the Lord comes when God himself walks amongst his people. When God begins to walk in his people, the Bible has already said that God in the midst of his people is a mighty God. When God begins to walk among us, the glory of the Lord is revealed. If you remember, the scriptures tell us that when God chose Moses and sent him back to the Israelites when they were in Egypt, the power of God was released in such a tremendous manner that even unbelievers saw the power of God and could attest to the fact that there was a God walking amongst them. Anytime God moves among us, his glory is revealed. And so he said the glory of the latter house, the second house, in other words, in the second generation, or in the second era, that is after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I, the Lord, will reveal my glory. And that is why 1 Peter, the chapter 1, verses 10, 11, 12, 13 going, says that after the prophets who saw the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus inquired as to what time that would happen, because they wanted to know what the spirit in them was testifying, that there's going to be the suffering, and after the suffering of the Lord, there's going to be a release of glory after that suffering, which means that Jesus had to suffer, but after his suffering, the glory of the Lord was to be revealed. And that is why Apostle Paul wrote categorically that if those who dwelt under the Old Testament saw the glory of God to the point that Moses himself had to cover his face in order to protect the people from seeing the glory, how much more those of us living under the New Testament? So the glory of the latter house is signifying the glory that is to be revealed after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. This morning, we're showing you what God wants to do with our lives. It is important for where we have come to in the 21st century to understand that God wants to release a lot unto us. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28, Prophet Joel projected and predicted for some time to come that the Spirit of the Lord will be poured from on high. And then he said, "My son, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Then your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams." Now in Acts chapter 2 verse 16, Apostle Peter stood up in those days when the Holy Spirit came, was released, and said, "This is what Prophet Joel spoke about." In other words, in Acts chapter 2 verse 16, what Joel said in Joel 2:28 was fulfilled. So then, if it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, why is it that after 2,000 years, we have not seen that glorious power of God continue in the midst of God's people? And it is because a number of things have been overlooked. And that is what we seek to bring to your awareness. And so we'll be talking about the new wine and the new wineskin. This particular teaching series that we are going to bring to you from today is dealing with the new wine and the new wineskin. Now, the new wine that God is releasing upon his people, we need to understand how to work with it, because it works with a certain art, a certain size. If we don't understand how God releases his power and himself upon his people, we will not be able to accommodate all that God is doing in the midst of his people. We want to submit therefore to you that God has a lot to do in the 21st century. But until we understand how he moves amongst his people, we cannot be able to walk with him and program ourselves to receive from his hand. The lack in our churches, the lack in our communities, the void in our hearts, the void in the families, and the gap created in institutions are all as a result of God not releasing the new wine. Now, we want you to see something in John chapter 2. The Bible said that Jesus performed his first miracle. In John chapter 2, John records that the first miracle Jesus performed was at the feast of Cana. And at the feast of Cana, he turned water into wine. And the Bible said there were 6 jars of water that he turned. The number 6 is the number of men. And so, say just that, this means that he was imparting the graces of heaven upon humanity. That's what Jesus came to do. And so the Bible said, when he turned the water into wine, the feast master called the bridegroom. And then when he tasted it, he said, every man whom I know, always all the time, brings out the best wine first. Why is it that you have served the bad wine, and now after everyone is full, you are serving the good wine? John chapter 2 verses 10. And he said unto him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine is served. But you have kept the good wine until now. Hallelujah. God has kept his best wine for these last days. And whatever Jesus came to do, we are going to see the activation and the enforcement of what he has done in the 21st century and beyond. And so we must be attentive and be very, very interested in the things of God in these last days. When the Bible said you have kept your best wine, what he's saying is that God has a lot of goodies to release in these last days by the timetable and the plan of God. In these last days, we must begin to see powerful ministries built. We must begin to see giftings and potentials released. We must begin to see ideas and all manner of opportunities and networks released upon us. And those are the good wine that God has kept for us. We are not going to be a good for nothing bunch of people who are going nowhere. We are not going to be miserable and weak in these last days, but we are going to be very powerful, very astronomical in terms of God's will, his graces, and his provisions. And therefore, we must come to that point of being ready to receive from God's hands. The key verse that we are using for this strategic teaching is Luke and the chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And when you read Luke chapter 5, you would understand something very important about the new wine and the new wineskin. Now, you can take your time and read from the verse 32. The Bible said, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus. And this is the question they asked him from verse 30. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?
And they continued, and they said, "We fast with our disciples, and John the Baptist also and his disciples, they fast. Why is it that you don't fast, but you are always eating and drinking with your disciples?" And this is what Jesus said unto them. "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them?" He continues, and in verse 37, he said, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" That is verse 39. "And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, 'The old is good. The old is good.'" This is our key verse for this teaching. Jesus has started his earthly ministry, and while he is teaching and doing all that he's doing, healing the sick, performing miracles here and there, touching the lives of the ordinary, spending time with sinners and changing them from inside out, the Pharisees and the scribes, and all of them came to him asking, "Why is it that we do things in the ministry, in the kingdom work, we do things in this particular way, but you don't do things like that?" They were expecting Jesus, if indeed Jesus is who he says he is, they were expecting him that once he is in the same kingdom with them, he will be doing things like they were doing, wearing their cassocks and then having servants all around them, receiving greetings in the market square, having honor beyond measure, and being paid extremely high in their service to their communities. They were expecting Jesus to go the same way. But Jesus said, "No man pours new wine into old wineskin, else the wineskin will spill and destroy itself and destroy the new wine. But every man, after he has tasted the old wine, doesn't want to taste the new wine, but because they say that the old wine is good." This has been the norm of life. This has been the ways by which we have done our things. So the question that we have always asked, why are we not seeing the power of God in our times? Why are we not seeing miracles, genuine miracles, pure miracles from God? Why are we not seeing businessmen and business builders who have ideas that are changing our lives? Why don't we have leaders who have solutions and all the strategic minds and wisdom to deal with the challenges of the 21st century? Why can't we see lives changed and transformed with that propelling speed that we want to see? Why are our churches not growing with that phenomenal rate? Why are our church leaders not enlarging what is put in their hands? Why are we not becoming global thinkers and global builders? Why are our businesses becoming smaller by the day? Why are our economies crunching and crumbling? Why are our people and institutions facing all kinds of hardship? Where are the leaders? Where are the ideas? Where are the provisions of God? Where are the power and then the anointings that God promised us? We cannot see them because no man pours new wine into old wineskin. All of us have become virtually something else in our apprehension of what God wants to do. So we want to start, or we want to teach you simply, when we talk about the new wine, what does it symbolize? The new wine that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 5 is dealing with a number of things. When we talk about the new wine, we are talking about a number of things. Number one is the anointings that God pours on his people. Number two, mantles. Number three, gifts. Number four, callings or mandates or commissions. Churches included. Churches could be a new wine God is pouring. Assignments. Number five, assignments. Number six, opportunities. Number seven, waves of blessings that God pours. Number eight, revivals. Number nine, supernatural confirmations and endorsements. Number 10, high capacity men, office holders in the kingdom. Number 11, creativity and innovation. Number 12, signs and wonders. Number 13, upgraded connections. Number 14, ideas. All of these are summed up in what Jesus called the new wine. No man pours his new wine. These various things we have mentioned, the anointings, gifted men, mantles, giftings, connections, opportunities, platforms that God, these could be the new wine that God releases upon us. When we talk about new wineskins or wineskins, the wineskin also is symbolic of a number of things. A wineskin could be a church. A wineskin could be an individual or a person. The wineskin could be teams, could be groups, could be families, could be communities, and could be monumental objects and materials. Those can become wineskins into which God pours his anointings, his mantles, his giftings, his callings, his assignments, his opportunities, his waves of blessings, his revivals, his men, his creativity and innovation, his signs and wonders, his ideas into. So these are the wineskins that we can talk about. As we are speaking right now, you listening to me, you are a potential wineskin in the hands of God. Your business, the bank you are in, your corporate office, the school you are in, the church you are building, your family is also a wineskin before God. And there are so many things you, as you are listening to me right now, you are looking forward to receiving from God. You want an anointing on your life. You want money or capital. That is a new wine. You want an idea, business ideas. You want wisdom to run and lead. You want potential leadership. You want discretion. You want knowledge. You want understanding. You want connections. You want opportunities. You want different platforms, different brands to engage your services. You want new people sent to you, gifted people sent to you. All of these are things you are looking forward to receiving from God. And I'm telling you, they are new wine. But why are we not receiving them? We are not receiving them because no man pours the new wine into an old wineskin. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, you listening to me, have you become an old wineskin? Has your church become an old wineskin? Has your business become an old wineskin? Has your corporate entity become an old wineskin? Has your family become an old wineskin? When we say old, we are talking about the paradigms of how things were done in the generation that is passing and how things must be done. Everything God releases upon the earth has a design. So when God touched those who have gone ahead of us, when we talk about the Billy Grahams, the William Seymours, we talk about John Kilpatrick's, we talk about all the men that have gone ahead of us, T.L. Osborne, Ida Hosa, and the great men that have lived and gone, they all received their anointings, and God prepared the wineskins to receive those anointings. When we talked about the businessmen that have lived and gone, the John Welch, we talk about Bill Gates and all those men out there who are in the old generation passing on, they were made wineskins to receive all that God put in them. For Bill Gates, that idea he received was a new wine God poured, and he was the wineskin. So he had to accommodate the wine, else he would have destroyed it. Do you know the number of people who have received ideas from God but have destroyed those ideas? Do you know the number of people who have received various inscriptions and ethereal all kinds of concepts and ideas from ethereal rays that could do something but never did anything that would benefit humanity but destroyed lives. Some used the ideas they had to make guns and engage in drug trafficking and slavery and child labor and trafficking and all manner of prostitution and gambling and all kinds of things, developing organizations that championed crime and destroyed lives. That is when many people used the ideas God gave them, the big brains God gave them. That is what they have used it for. Albert Einstein, once upon a time, was somebody God poured a huge mind, a genius mind into, and he used it to do so much for science and mathematics. Thomas Edison, these are men that received capacity from heaven and they use it to do something. In these last days, why are we not seeing people with ingenuity, mental ingenuity, people with leadership astuteness, prowess to move our people from where we are to where God wants us to go? Why are we not seeing all these things? We are not seeing all these things because of a lot of things that have gone wrong with us. There are so many things that have become so wrong with us. Number one, the way we think can limit God. The way we approach issues, the way we understand issues, the way we accommodate and position ourselves, that is our posture before God, can stop God from releasing his power and new wine into us. And like I said, you are a potential wineskin. Your business and corporation is a potential wineskin. Your family down there, your school, your church is a wineskin. Your teams, your groups, your church members, they are all potential wineskins. So why is God not pouring the fresh anointings, the healing anointings, the miraculous anointings, the prophetic anointings, all of the great ministry tools that we need? Why is God not releasing them? It's because we have all become old wine. And he said, no man tastes the old wine and prefers the new wine, for they say that the old wine is better. That has been our life. After we came into ministry, most of us received callings through our dreams and through prophecies and through divine encounters. We received our dreams, we received our callings, and we had an appetite for God. We came into the body of Christ with a fresh zeal, wanting to see the power of God released, wanting to see miracles performed, the dead raised, and mad or insane people becoming sane under the power of God. We wanted to see many anointings released upon our lives. We wanted to see many businesses built. We came into business with a mind to build many businesses and employ people and help people. We started schools to educate people and to build people and develop them. But today, when we came into the system, you could see that we look at those who have gone ahead of us, and the very things that they practiced, the very things that they did, they are the very things we are doing. Some of the things for which God called new people into the kingdom, they are the very things we have accommodated and are beginning to appreciate in our lives. And so this morning we are telling you, you want to build a huge company or business or a large empire for God, but you have become like every other businessman you know, and for that reason, you cannot receive the ideas you need, the capital you need, the strategies you need, all the ways of wisdom you need to build a large business. You want to become the new director in charge of all the branches of your bank, but you have become like every other branch manager. You have become like every other teller, every other banker across board, who once upon a time lived and practiced things that were not helpful in terms of where God wanted to move his people. And so today, as I'm speaking to you, there is a quest in your heart for you to become the most anointed, powerful preacher in our time. You want to be the most powerful entrepreneur. You want to be the most powerful leader in your setup. You want to be the most powerful man or woman that has ever lived in the corporate world. You want to be the most powerful and huge church builder that has ever lived. Yet you have accustomed yourself to the old ways of doing things. You want to do things. You want to create and invent new products and services. And so you need ideas, but you are not receiving them, all because you are behaving and you have taken a posture like some of the people that have gone ahead. Credit unto them, we bless them. But what they are doing or what they did is what called for God to come in, to step in, to call for a new breed of people who would do things different. For a new wine is poured into a new wineskin. Ask yourself this morning, are you a new wineskin to receive the hand of God? We will continue with this teaching tomorrow, and we will be showing you some of the things we must do. And until we meet again tomorrow, this is the voice of impact, Reverend Joseph Boateng Powers. You can call me JBP. It is an honor to share the word of God with you. God bless you and keep you. May God bring your mind onto what he wants to do, and prepare yourself, for something is coming from heaven. Something is about to be released upon you. You are about to receive something, a release from heaven. And I promise you, in the name of the Lord, that your life will never be the same. The power of God will hit you. The hand of the Lord will come upon you, and you will turn into another man. Listen to me and you'll be blessed. I promise you that you'll be blessed. Until I come in tomorrow, may you stay blessed and may you be protected in the mighty name of Jesus. Bye-bye.
God bless you for listening to today's episode from Joseph Boateng Powers. We hope you have been blessed. With many other audio and video messages available from Joseph Boateng Powers. There are also many books available for your reading, such as Woman of Assignment, My Calling to Fulfill, The Walk of Wisdom, Strategic Leadership, among others. For more information and how to access these life-changing materials, visit www.josephpowersministries.com or on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube at Joseph Powers Ministries. You can get our books on Amazon or call us on 0545-956-258 or 0240-241989. We hope to hear from you. God bless you. The bearers of such wine are going to raise others. You must be a mentor. You must be a coach. You must give the platform to others. You must help others develop. You must raise others. It should not be about you alone. You should not walk lonely in ministry. You should not be doing things alone in ministry, but rather you must be doing things that inure to the benefits of others. You must have sons. You must have generations after you. You are raising. You must have teams you are raising. You must have people you are raising. You should not walk alone in ministry. You should have others that you are opening opportunities for. You are opening the doors for. Jethro told Moses, raise others. And when Moses did it, it pleased all the people. In Acts, the chapter 6, the Bible said, and Peter rose up early when there was dissension in the church. And he said, bring unto us men who have a good report, men who are full of the Holy Spirit, men who are full of wisdom. And he said, bring them unto us and we will make them in charge of this business, the business of leadership. We must, when the Bible said, when they raised these people, peace came to the church. There was orderliness in the church. You must understand that without leadership, there will not be orderliness in the church. There will not be order. There will not be serenity in the church. The church demands that we are programmed, and so we raise others to come and stand in with us and help us do what we are doing. You must raise others. It is important that you do that. You must raise others. Many times, the old wineskin also demonstrated a certain trait, and that is, it surrounded itself with yes sir people. Those who have gone ahead of us in ministry, most of them surrounded themselves with people who agreed with everything they did. People who told them the things they wanted to hear, not the things they needed to hear. The new wineskin requires that you surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth even when it hurts. Even when it feels painful, they will tell you the truth. You must surround yourself with counselors. You must have people who advise you. You must not surround yourself with people of your kind. You must go for experienced, educated,
anointed people, people who are wise, who can give you wholesome advice, people who can give you proper counsel, good counsel, so you can do what God has put in your hands. If you don't do that, you are programming yourself for failure. If you surround yourself with yeser people, you will fail, because there are many prophets, many great people who have gone ahead of us, who surrounded themselves with yeser people, and their end is nothing to write home about. Their end became disastrous and sometimes even catastrophic. Some of them lost their anointings. Some of them also failed. Some of them were disgraced out of ministry because they surrounded themselves with people who told them things that were nice. When you have made it, people will want to please you. And that is why it is important that you surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth even when it hurts. The truth hurts, but we can do nothing without the truth. We can do nothing against the truth. We cannot deny the truth. The truth must be embraced. And for us to embrace the truth, we must come to that point of surrounding ourselves with people who are matured, people who are experienced, people who tell the truth even when it hurts, people who are truthful, they are honest. The new wineskin requires that. You must surround yourself with people who are matured, who are experienced, who are wise. You must do that. Ahithophel, who was in the council of David, left David, and the moment he left David, David began to pray a prayer, because David knew that for him to lose Ahithophel, he had lost somebody very important, somebody very mighty and instrumental in his life had left, and it was of a great concern to David. And so David took unto prayer, because he knew that losing Ahithophel could mean danger for him. Many times, God, no matter the greatness he brings us into, will bring people around us, will bring people our way. Sometimes there are people, experienced ministers, as young ministers in the kingdom, building our churches. There are many great men of God out there. Some have been in the kingdom for a long time. In Obuasi here, what I always hear from people is that, do you know that nobody can start a church and prosper in Obuasi? And I said, sometimes the problem has to do with those who are starting the churches. Because when you betray the principles of ministry, you will be betrayed by ministry. You will be betrayed in ministry. There are many, many men also in Obuasi here who started their own churches. And today, they have also succeeded. They have become successful, and they are doing great things for God. What about that? And so it has to do with those who are starting or building the churches. I believe we need to listen to God. We need to pay attention to ministry, prepare ourselves adequately. We must become what we need to be before we start our churches. And then number three, I think that we must surround ourselves with fathers, with people who are wise, experienced, and have our interests at heart. We must have fathers who can mentor us. We must have people who can pray for us when we are weak, when we are going through challenges, people who can help us back on our feet. We must look for such people. If you are going to be the kind of person God is going to use these last days in building a large church, then I bet you today God would want you to be someone who listens to advice, someone who pays attention to counsel. The Bible said, in the multitude of counselors, a matter is established. You must surround yourself with counselors. You must surround yourself with good people, not yeser people, not people of your kind. If you are a young person, there are young people who are starting all kinds of ministry in town, and the next thing you hear, they are running away. It's because they surround themselves with their mates. They surround themselves with people, their class, those who think like them, those who see things like them. If you don't see things like they see, they kick you out. They want to do things like that. And when you do that, you fail. If you want to succeed, you must begin to work in the company of wise people, matured, old people, people you can consider fathers, people who are matured and who have attained a certain level of success in ministry. That is the only way by which we can stay in the kingdom and succeed, because we have to look at them. Success demands a lot, especially ministerial success. And more importantly, when you are building a church, when you are building a church, you don't have to joke with it. Church building is very difficult. And so we need the experience, we need the mentorship, we need the wisdom, all the wisdom we can get from those who have gone ahead of us. That can be very helpful. And the new wine requires that all those who are receiving such wine, such gifting, such blessings from heaven, would look at how to surround themselves, not with yes sir people, but will surround themselves with people who will tell you the hard truth. People who can stab you in the front. They stab you in your face. They look straight into your eyes and tell you exactly what is wrong with you. That helps a lot. The next thing that we have to look at is the old wineskin lacked perspective. Perspective is the point of view in a matter, in a situation. And it is important that when we want to walk under the new wineskin, we will be people of perspective in all situations. There are a lot of perspectives we can have, or points of view we can have into situations, but we must have the right one. Many people have made mistakes, grievous mistakes, and because of that, they are run out of ministry. Their churches came into limbos and they had to leave and run out of place. Many collided, shipwrecked, because they did not have perspectives. A point of view in a matter can be accurate when you take your time to look at all the other sides, or all the other points of view. Then you can have the accurate one. You must listen to others. You must observe a lot. You must apply wisdom and discretion in the things you do. You don't do anything at will. You must be very, very discretionary in the things you do. And so when you want to have a proper or the best point of view in a matter, you must be someone who is ready to listen, who is ready to observe, who is ready to research, look at issues, and take time to draw conclusions. And that is what the new wineskin demands. We must have such attitudes. We must have such behavioral patterns around us. We don't do things just anyhow. We don't do things just because somebody else is doing it. But we do things because we have taken our time. We have researched. We have prayed. We have sought the face of God. And we have come to a conclusion on the matter. At the end of the day, when we take a decision, the decision must reflect what those who are wise would accept. As church builders, we cannot just take decisions on the masses just because we feel we are right and we feel we are the leaders. Today, we are having a lot of people in the church who are very powerful, and they must see your decisions to be very accurate. They must see you to be very sound in your judgment. They must see you to be very wise in the way you pick up your points of view or your perspectives on every issue, on the policies you run, in the programs you run, on all the decisions you make in your church. You must make sure that you have the right perspective in place before you engage. This is very important. This is very keen. And we want to admonish you that if you don't have that, you must take your time and develop them. All the things we are talking about are things that you can learn, things that you can adapt if you don't have them. If you are also on the other side, you can correct yourself. You can correct your ways. You can look at the way and manner at which you do your things. And I believe that God will help you do things right, and your church can increase. Your church can grow from grace to grace, from glory to glory. That is the will of God for you. And we know that you'll be able to do that. We want to pray with you today as well. We want you to lift your right hand as a point of contact unto heaven and pray with us. Father, today we bless your name. We thank you for what you are sharing with us. We ask that you empower every man, every woman who is building a church out there, who is praying with us right now. Let your grace overshadow them now. And let the release of heaven come upon us like never before. May we see your favor like never before. And may your power come upon us mightily in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless your name. We give you all the praise because you are with us mightily. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we thank God for your life and we thank you for listening to us. We will be ending on this particular phase or in this particular realm tomorrow as we come on building the wineskin as a church builder. A new wineskin as a church builder. This is God's servant, Reverend Joseph Boateng Powers. You can call me JBP. God bless you and keep you. Until I come your way again tomorrow, God keep you and make his face shine on you. Bye-bye.